Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, we spoke with Dr. Kristen Rojas, a breast surgical oncologist and gynecologic surgeon, who recently led a discussion during Susan G. Komen Greater New York City's Sex and Breast Cancer Conference about the gynecologic changes patients experience during and after cancer treatment. Dr. Rojas addresses why the topic of gynecologic health is a taboo subject when it comes to cancer treatment, as well as what patients can do to treat those changes. Additionally, she offers advice to patients who may be hesitant to discuss the symptoms with their healthcare provider.
These topics have typically always been very taboo, you know, and I feel like now, you know, with these different platforms and social media, it's becoming easier for us to talk about these issues, which is great. So I think the first aspect is that when women are faced with their diagnosis, they're getting like an onslaught of information, like this is what you have, this is the steps in your treatment, it's going to involve this, this, and this, and it's kind of very, very overwhelming. So, you know, and the way our healthcare system is structured, we don't have a lot of time, as much time as we would like with patients. So that first visit is usually like, okay, this is absolutely what we must talk about. And that's it, whether or not you need chemotherapy, or this is what your surgery is going to be, or let me introduce you to these resources. And so sometimes those other issues that may not be as pressing are kind of put on the back burner. They typically don't show up right away either. Sometimes it can take like weeks or months or maybe even years. And so once that happens, you know, women, the patient feels, I've had patients tell me that sometimes they feel guilty bringing it up, or they're uncomfortable, or then, and then I've also had oncologists and surgeons tell me that, well, I don't know, I don't want to ask, because if then patients tell me they are having those issues, I don't have anything to do for them. And that's kind of been my goal, is to not only empower patients to ask the question, but to like empower providers, oncologists, surgeons, and even routine gynecologists and primary care doctors to like have really simple steps to at least start to address these issues before they get more complicated.
Rojas highlights why it's important for patients to be aware of what changes might occur during or after treatment.
You know, I think a common misconception is that these changes only matter to younger women. And if I've learned anything during my working with women who are dealing with these issues, it's that these changes can equally impact women of all ages, all sexual orientations, single, partnered, you know, and these are all of, they're important for all women. For one woman who maybe is in a partnered relationship and relies on their partner for support during their diagnosis and their treatment, that's this, these issues like painful sex or discomfort can completely disrupt that social support, you know. But it's also important for women who aren't partnered, because it can be really scary to have these changes happen to you, maybe long before you ever thought you would go into menopause. So you've never thought about it before. All of a sudden you're having like urinary tract infections, and you know, you have a million doctor's appointments, so you don't have time to go to the gynecologist. And you know, women turn to the internet and are like, what's wrong with me? Am I dying? And there's not, unfortunately, not a lot of information out there.
Rojas offers some advice as to how both patients and healthcare providers can discuss the gynecologic changes that could occur as a result of cancer treatment.
Yeah, well, I think from the first visit, you know, you don't have to, as a provider, you don't have to get all the way into it, just say, you know, these medications or this treatment can have these effects, GYN or vaginal or vulvar related issues. If you have any of those, let me know and we can talk about it. And so then that just kind of like opens the door to tell the patients, oh, this is a thing that happens. You're not the only person that's experiencing this, because that's the other issue. And then when they come up, the patients may feel empowered to talk about it. I think, you know, I tell patients for some other talks that I've given, you know, even you have nothing to lose, you know, when you go back, just ask out of everything you've already gone through. Like asking about your vagina is not the biggest, like that shouldn't be the scariest thing. So just ask your oncologist, you know, I'm having these changes, or I noticed this, or I notice vaginal dryness or pain, or my periods are irregular, or I've been having urinary tract infections. Do you have any recommendations for anything I can do about that? And even oncologists who maybe are taken aback, or any provider really who doesn't know the answer then, you know, we want to know the answer and we want to have the answers for our patients. So I always tell patients, they'll probably go home, even if they don't have an answer for you then, think about it. And then the next time you see them, they may have a resource for you. But that's why I think that this is really important. That's why social media is so powerful, so that women can have access to this information, even if their oncologist has never had a patient ask them that before.
Rojas tells patients what types of changes they may experience during or after treatment.
The first thing that they may notice, and everyone's different, but they may notice just some dryness symptoms. So that means less lubrication with sex, or less, or more, where they need more preparation for sex, or it's like, you know, women aren't really like an on switch at baseline, on and off switch usually. But when you add all of these other things, that can make that even more complicated. Other things I talk to patients about are avoiding irritants and different products that can have chemicals, because that delicate skin of the vulva and the vagina is actually really, really sensitive to different products. And some women may even have like a low level, what's called a contact dermatitis, which is like a low level allergic reaction. So the first instinct is to be like, okay, I go to the store and buy like a vaginal moisturizer, or, you know, feminine wash, as douches are like cleverly called now, which I tell patients to avoid, or like, you know, some sort of lubricant that has like all these gimmicks, like it's warming or it has a flavor or something like that. Like, I tell patients to just avoid all of that, because when the vulva and the vagina become drier and then they start to lose their elasticity or stretchiness, and then that skin just gets really, really, really sensitive to different chemicals. So it's important to avoid like soaps, fragrances, anything with extra added gimmicks. Those are some of the changes that they might feel at first. Some women don't report any of those changes, but the first sign they notice is that they go to have sex like the usual way that they do, and all of a sudden it's really, really painful. Whether it's pain on penetration or a deeper like pelvic pain from some pelvic floor muscle dysfunction. And so that's another common concern. But some women, because of the loss of stretchiness of the vagina, because normally during sex, the vagina changes shape a little bit. It's supposed to be a little bit stretchy to accommodate like, you know, the functional aspect of sex. Sometimes when it loses that stretchiness, women can have spotting after sex, and that can be really scary for them if they've never seen that before. Other changes can be an increase in irritation, like itching, different type of discharge, or burning.
Rojas offers patients advice on how they could treat the changes in their gynecologic health.
So the first step I always go to is to treat dryness, and a lot of women already have coconut oil in their home. It's solid at room temperature, and it's like a very inert oil. Doesn't have, you know, any extra gimmicks. And I have patients look at the ingredients list, just make sure it's single ingredient and organic. And then they can use that after showering every day. You just apply to the external vulva and see if that starts to help those symptoms. What it also does is, if you're a woman who's having a lot of dryness and that skin is getting irritated after urination, that coconut oil can also kind of act as a barrier and prevent that discomfort. I start there because it's easy, and patients don't need to go buy something most of the time. And you know, I live in Brooklyn and everyone's really into coconut oil. So it's like a very like palatable option for patients. And that can be for anyone. So not just women who have a history of breast cancer, but any type of cancer. Maybe they've had pelvic radiation or have gotten chemo for another type of cancer. I check back in with patients in a couple weeks, see how it's going. They're still having a lot of symptoms, then the next step I move on to is a vaginal moisturizer. It's important to know that, think of moisturization as like every day or two or three times a week. So moisturizing, you know, I tell patients, just like you moisturize your face, it's going to be just like that. You brush your teeth, just add it to your routine. But moisturization is different from lubrication. So when we're talking about lubricants, that's for sexual activity. So the next step in my little algorithm is to move on to a moisturizer that has hyaluronic acid. And that's a molecule that's commonly found in facial moisturizers and other products. And so Hyaluronic acid works by taking moisture from the environment and like holding it on the skin. So it's kind of like a higher tech molecule that works in that way. And some of the products I use, you can always check the ingredients list because there are probably new moisturizers coming out that have this that maybe I don't know about. But my go-to is Hyalogyne. So that's Hyalogyn, and it's available online. The other one is a type of Vagisil that's called Prohydrate. And you just want to check the label, make sure it's the one with hyaluronic acid. The other, and those are in like a gel form or cream form. There's also suppositories, which are like little solid pellets that you place in the vagina with an applicator. And Bonafide has a nice hyaluronic acid suppository that's a little bit more on the pricier side compared to some of the other treatments, but you only use them twice a week, which for a lot of like busy women who have a lot going on, that's easier for them to manage. So I start there, and those are all non-hormonal options. And then if those aren't helping, then I talk about eliminating irritants at the first visit as well, avoiding soaps and detergents, you know, anything that touches that area. So avoiding fragrances in the detergents that you wash your underwear with. You know, a lot of people don't, women don't even realize that. The next step is to talk about hormonal moisturizer. And a lot of women, not just breast cancer patients, but interestingly, women maybe with any type of GYN cancer have a little bit of pause when I talk about this. So I always want to make sure and explain it. Estrogen has gotten a really bad rap, but usually the studies that have reported conflicting results that may that say that estrogen may increase the risk of breast cancer or recurrence or another type of cancer are related to the pill of estrogen that you take. And even then, we're finding out that oral estrogen by pill probably doesn't do all the things that we thought it did. It's probably really helpful and doesn't increase the risk of breast cancer. But this is just in a local form. So estrogen in a cream or in a suppository. And if you think about it, you're only giving a little dose of estrogen to the vulva and the vagina, so it's absorbed there. Probably in the beginning, when that skin becomes a little bit, when it's thinner and more irritated, there's probably a little bit of absorption. So maybe your body may see a little bit of the absorption of the estrogen in another way. But for the most part, it stays right there. And so you get the effects of giving your body a little bit of that estrogen back and helping with some of those symptoms. And you know, I don't go to that first line for women with a history of breast cancer, but I do have patients that after we try other things that aren't working, that's a good option for them. And there's no evidence showing that it increases the risk of breast cancer recurrence or breast cancer incidence.
Rojas notes why it's important for patients to consult with their healthcare provider before considering any treatment options.
Yeah, there are very few absolute contraindications to these treatments, but any type of hormonal treatment that you're taking through any route, whether it's a patch or a pill or through the vagina, you should just speak to your oncologist about, because, you know, not just hormonal treatments, but there's a lot of data coming out now that even supplements or seeming things that seem like it would be no big deal can interfere with different treatments. So anything, new medication or new treatment, you always need to talk to your oncologist or your gynecologist.
Rojas stresses the importance of why patients should not just dismiss these changes.
Yeah, so even if you're someone who says, oh, I don't care about, you know, it's not bothering me that much, or I'm not sexually active, I would say to still take these effects into consideration, because, you know, even if you're not sexually active now, you may want to become sexually active later. But also, when the vagina has gone through these changes and the estrogen is really low for a very prolonged period of time, it's harder to go back. And so it's not just adding back moisture, it's changing the architecture of the vagina. And so a lot of times patients who've maybe been on an aromatase inhibitor for 10 years, which is a pill that makes your estrogen really low, we kind of have to go back and not just moisturize, but we have to talk about trying to like remodel the vagina through like a dilator program or something. And it's just more intense, but it's not impossible. The other reason is outside of just sexual function and like, you know, being able to have sex, is that when these issues happen to women, changes the pH of the vagina, and it can increase your risk of urinary tract infections. And you can get really sick from a urinary tract infection. That's also known as a bladder infection, but bladder infections can spread to your kidneys, and your And if you get an infection in your kidneys, you need to be admitted to the hospital. And so, you know, it's not just, oh, women shouldn't feel, definitely should not feel ashamed, but there, it's to bring these issues up, but it affects more than just sexual function. It's also, you know, your whole genitourinary system, which is related to, you know, voiding.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.